Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
0-2. Tapper first base side. Abreu is on it. Jose, got to the bag. One gone. Will it stand?
For me, he's out at first base. I mean, Jose, the only thing he could do was lunge with a foot to first and watch the foot.
That's an out, Steve.
Yep. Well, I thought he was out in real time, and I still think he's out. And I think after they review it in New York, he is still going to be out.
It's got to stand.
Well, it is kind of amazing, the call by Brian Knight, and he's out, and two to go.
Carlos Rodon on 1-2.
Called strike three on the inside corner or in the neighborhood, and one out for a no-hitter.
3-2. Rodon. To third, Moncada.
Carlos Rodon has thrown a no-hitter.
Real basic one to start with, just describe the feeling. Describe the feeling on that last ground ball to Moncada and everything after, I guess.
Can't believe this is happening. That's kind of what it was. Knowing after the third time through the top of the order and after facing Ramirez, a bat like that, getting him out, I mean, that's where it kind of was like, all right, this is getting a little real. It was getting a little real. I mean, the day, luckily I had, first off, hats off to my good friend Dallas Keuchel for picking me up in that start. A hero. Did it for the boys when I went out there and got into the sixth inning and had no idea who was pitching that day. Nor did I. I didn't know I was not going to pitch that day, waking up that morning the way I felt. But after, you know, what was it, 2 days or a day, it seemed like it was just like a stomach bug or whatever it was. It went away, and it felt real good today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's Carlos Rodon. That was him in the postgame. And our thanks to the fine folks at NBC Sports Chicago for broadcasting that game. It was a great call on that game, and certainly fun to hear Carlos's reaction to it after the fact. I've got a criticism for him, David. I don't know if I should make it or not. I've waited an hour. We started.
Okay,
at
go
five.
Ahead. Yeah,
I got to tell you that, and I don't know if you felt the same way. I really feel, and I got it. First of all, I like the idea that the Indians did not want to give up the no-hitter, that they wanted to try to stop it even in the ninth inning, that a guy wasn't going to let the perfecto go, so he wasn't going to jump out of the way. I like that he had to earn that. And I think that started with Josh Naylor. And
yes,
if you watch that slide, and they watched it in slow motion, the right hand goes by the base. So the lead hand goes past the base, and then his left hand hits it. And you see the unbelievable lunge and the almost doing the splits for a Jose Abreu what an unbelievable defensive play for a guy not known or not appreciated enough, maybe, for how good he's become as a defensive player. But the one thing that happened on that play that I didn't like and that I made a mental note of, Carlos Rodon didn't cover first.
Oh, I'm serious. That's where you were going. I know.
Didn't that go through your head?
Yeah, it did. It did. And I wondered if he didn't, almost because he was trying to, number one, focus so much on the hitter. Maybe it slipped his mind because he was so caught up in his thoughts. And number two, I wondered if he didn't want to exert himself in that way. But that was a fair reaction. I think, yeah, it's a fair reaction. But at the same time, aren't you glad he didn't? Because what if you tangled his ankle into that mix
right.
as well?
You're right.
And maybe
You're
he's
right.
lunging for first and awkwardly slips. And that was an accident waiting to happen that was happily averted. And Jose Abreu makes the Dwayne Wise play of the game for to preserve this no-hitter. And what a play it was. You don't expect Jose Abreu to be the defensive hero of the night. You don't expect Andrew Vaughn to have five putouts in left field. You don't expect what you saw, the kind of mastery Carlos Rodon had. He is your fifth starter, after all. But everything came together in a way that was magical and special and memorable. And so you give credit to Carlos Rodon, who, in the words of his wife, Ashley Rodon, who went to Twitter afterward and said, "We have been through hell. Carlos has been through hell and back. What a night to remember." And you have to, you can't help but just feel great for him and for his family, for everything associated with Carlos Rodon's, you know, return from Tommy John surgery and two major surgeries overall.
You know, I thought there was a general, so you got the Naylor play, and then you got Roberto Perez with the getting on first, and there's still two outs and you're hoping you can get it. There was a very generous strike zone then, and he has a strikeout. It was very generous. I'm not being cruel about it or anything else. And then Jordan Luplow comes up, and that guy, that he battled like hell at that at bat. He really wasn't going gently into that dark night.
No, he wasn't. And are you suggesting that maybe that the generous strike zone, that the umpire got caught up in the moment a little bit? Maybe that was part of it?
Perhaps? Looked like a strike to me, David.
Okay.
Looked like a strike to me.
Did you see that other little nugget? There's so many little side stories to this great moment for and milestone for Carlos Rodon. Did you see who the home plate umpire was last night? The name will ring a bell for White Sox fans who paid attention to 2005. And I know that you did. I know that you'll remember this name. Doug Eddings. Doug Eddings, who was behind the plate for obviously the A.J. Pierzynski drop third strike ALCS moment. Doug Eddings was the umpire then and again last night for the Carlos Rodon no-no.
I was at that game, and I was there just in the crowd, and we were so confused as to what was going on. And I remember very distinctly, you know, we were having a couple of drinks as we watched the game, and I was with buddies, and we were having a great time because it was a very tense game, and it's the significance of the moment. And by the time that game ended, like, I mean, my wife was the one who told me what happened. I had to call home, like, just to get the rundown on how that went down. And we left that stadium. I've never had this feeling before, but it was like, quick, let's get out of here before the cops come. It was like you were fleeing the scene of something. It was unbelievable. Because then Joe Creedy bounces one off, drills one into the wall. I mean, it was
a great night.
Just an extraordinary night. Yeah, one of my favorite nights ever.
And like that night with Doug Eddings behind the plate last night, everything seemed to fall into place for the White Sox just when it needed to and at the right moments. And you know, the ninth inning, you're right. I mean, I'm glad that we aren't seemed to be too disappointed about the lack of a perfect game. It would have been cool. And frankly, as we talked about in the first hour, my first reaction when Roberto Perez was at the plate and couldn't get out of the way of that and he hit him in the foot, move your foot. Dude, make more of an effort to get out of the way.
I felt the same way. And then he did that phony baloney limp
as he
blew up the perfecto. But you know what? There was something about it that was okay because he came back and he got the no-hitter. And again, he never walked anyone. He hit a shoelace or something.
Right.
Or the tip of a toenail.
he was trying for the back foot, as he pointed out early, not literally trying to hit the back foot, but that's where he was aiming. And you know what I think made it better for people watching, Mully, so it wasn't kind of like this total frustration, oh my gosh, bad things are going to happen now. It was the way that Carlos Rodon himself handled it. He, in that moment, when he could have just looked flustered and, oh my gosh, how's he going to handle somebody's on first base? They better go to the mound and settle him down. He laughed. He said something to Perez, went back to the mound, went back to his business, because this is a guy who overcomes things. That's what he has done, and that's what he did in putting a guy in first and still coming away with the no-no.
All right, we want to talk to you about it. 312-644-6767 is the number. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app. We'll start with John. He's in Mount Greenwood. Good morning, John.
Hi, John.
Good morning. You might have to excuse me. I don't know how much of a voice I got right now.
Were you there?
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Yeah, how was it?
I said that you guys might have to excuse me. I don't know how much of a voice I got right now.
Yeah, we heard you. Yeah.
It was absolutely crazy. I mean, about the fifth inning, I looked up and I'm like, we really going to got no hits right now. I'm like, all right. So he starts, you know, going through the innings, and I look at my girlfriend next to me, and I'm like, she didn't know what was going on, and I'm starting to get a little bit more hyped up about it. And finally, about the eighth inning, you know, the whole place is just, you can tell everyone knows the secret's out, and they're going crazy now. And then just that replay, the replay for the out at first, it seemed like a World Series play where just waiting for that call on your toes, you know. It was absolutely crazy. And then finally you see that out. I'm not lying. Marcada double pumped that ball. It seemed like it was a year and a half.
It did. It did take a while. Yeah, you know, fans were great all night. That was great. Thanks for the phone call.
It was a crazy night.
Great stuff. Yeah, John, thank you very much. That's a lot of fun. That is good stuff. And I bet that's a lot. Because, you know, you're watching the game, but you're talking to your girlfriend. You got people around you. You're at the ballpark. Maybe you don't know. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you look up at the scoreboard. There's no hits. Holy cow. And then I love that he kept it to himself for a couple innings. I think that's hysterical.
I also love, and I know people will get triggered by this. Some people will. But I also love that when you're watching the game, there was no ambiguity about what was going on. There was no cuteness trying to avoid the jinx or anything like that. There was, okay, Carlos Rodon has faced 18 batters, 18 up, 18 down. This is what we're looking at here. This is history. I don't know the exact wording that Jason Benetti and Steve Stone used on television, but there was no talking around what was going on. And I think that is the right way to handle this. I don't think the jinx, and I don't think all that other things that people are going to, you know, get in the way of history by talking about it or acknowledging it. I'm glad that the professional broadcasters that Stoney and Jason Benetti are acknowledged the reality that was going on.
Well, they never said no hitter. They never said perfect game. They just acknowledged what was happening without stating it. So I think technically that's not the jinx. I had a buddy of mine, a friend of mine, I like texted him, like, you know, tell your sons, tell your daughters. And he comes back with, you know, what's up? And I said, Carlos Rodon six outs away. And he responds, don't jinx it. What are you doing? Why would you? And I'm kind of like, you idiot. Are you not watching? Turn on your television.
I get that's fun for people. Some people buy into that. I don't. I don't think anything that you did at home is going to have an impact on what Carlos Rodon does on the mound. Anything that's said about anything that's going on at a baseball game is going to have any impact on that baseball game.
Okay, we have a texter. It says, Jason Benetti mentioned the first perfect game in Sox history in 1922, and then Rodon hit the batter right after that. It's Tom Benetti. So maybe not everyone agreed with you, David.
Well, I know that not everyone
kidding.
Agreed with me. That's okay. I just don't. I don't see the connection.
I know our friend John in Joliet was happy about that one. Morning, John.
Morning, John.
Good morning, guys. First of all, every time I call, if Hall isn't mad about the numbers on jerseys, he's talking about not jinxing players. Come on, David. It was a program, brother.
Hey, brother, there's nothing wrong with my mood today. I'm in a good mood, John. I'm being honest about how I was watching you. Knock it off.
He's teasing you. Come on. What do you think, John? Pretty good.
Oh, we warm up in a sports family. My wife, she's all into sports, and she keeps calling me to come downstairs, and I'm doing something. And she says, look at the TV, but don't say anything. And I look, and I see the triple zeros, and I'm like, oh, my God. And it's just, you know, the Urinator blows one up almost to his center, flying to the Dan Ryan. It's just beautiful. I mean, Carlos Rodon, God bless you. You know what? I'm getting ready to start my day, you guys. This is for Carlos Rodon. I just blew up the table with my 18-wheeler, baby.
Way to go, John.
Thanks, John. Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Way to go, indeed. That was marvelous stuff. That was very funny. All right, we got the pick six. We're going to keep with the storyline. We'll be talking to you all morning. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Can you please rate in order of absurdity and unlikelihood the following facts from Carlos Rodon's April 14th no-hitter? Have they been expressed to you before the start of spring training? Number one, Carlos Rodon would throw a no-hitter on April 14th. Number two, Zach Collins would be the catcher for that no-hitter. Number three, your mean Mercedes would go 3-for-5 in that game with a 431-foot, 3-run home run to enforce his status as the best offensive player on the team with a .500 average on 38 at-bats. Number four, left fielder Andrew Vaughn would make 5 putouts in that game to help the no-hitter.
when you lay it out like that, there is a lot of weird things that happen. I mean, it's just that list of names that you told me, I'd have been like, what happened? Oh, no. Was there like a COVID breakout? What? Oh, no. What happened to the White Sox? I don't think I would have recognized that this was possible, that the supporting players would have been there. I knew Rodon was back, I guess, by the time I'm asked the question. Maybe if he asked me at the end of the year, I wouldn't have believed it. But I think they are all so unlikely, these events. I think that, you know, I would say the one I wouldn't have questioned as much out of those things is Rodon throwing the no hitter. I think you got to do them in order. I think it's Rodon throwing a no-hitter. I would never have believed that Zach Collins would catch a no-hitter, but I think that was more probable than Andrew Vaughn playing left field and having five putouts. I don't think I'd have believed that at all. And as far as Yermin Mercedes going 3-for-5, .431 homer, best offensive player on the team, maybe in baseball, .500 average with 39 at-bats, at 38 at-bats, I think that's the least likely one for me. And that's saying a lot, because I never would have bought the idea that Andrew Vaughn would be a left fielder during a no-hitter and you wouldn't like have a defensive replacement. And I certainly would never have thought – I never thought that Zach Collins was a good catcher. So that blows my mind, David. They're all extraordinarily crazy.
I thought you'd go with that one based on your opinion of Zach Collins as a receiver. You know, in terms of just patent absurdity, it really is all hail Carlos Rodon, but Yermin Mercedes hitting .500 12 games into the season is still patently absurd. Yeah. I mean, that to me is still the most unusual thing going on in baseball right now, because you've got a 28-year-old on his, you know, third organization who all the things about his story that make it so cool. So I think that is number one for me, the most unusual. And then perhaps Andrew Vaughn, because who thought he was going to play left field ever, let alone in a no-hitter, and make five putouts and really be the guy that Tony La Russa trusted in the late innings. Then maybe Zach Collins. And I think that of all those things that are believable, the most believable would be the guy drafted third overall in the 2014 draft have stuff to throw a no-hitter, because Carlos Rodon last night was the Carlos Rodon we were promised in 2014.
A pick six to end the half!
How does Carlos Rodon's no-hitter change your perception of him and your expectations of the White Sox starting rotation? What does it say about your starting pitching when your fifth starter throws a no-hitter?
It says you are a World Series contender, potentially, if everybody pitches like they're capable of pitching. Now, Dylan Cease, let's wait and see. He's got a situation where, you know, he's under the weather and they're being cautious out of abundance of caution. But I think that when you look at 1-5, boy, this is a really dangerous pitching rotation. And when you have, you know, two of their first six victories, Mully, are complete game shutouts. I mean, who said that Tony La Russa returning to the dugout would provide an 80s vibe? But that is what has happened, because you've got all these complete game shutouts going on. This is a really good staff. And Carlos Rodon pitching like that says that you can really just rethink about what your expectations were for a guy who the Sox didn't expect much out of. If they had, they would have tendered him a contract and signed him for more than $3 million. But that is the contract he's on, and I think he's going to pitch beyond those terms and have a really big year.
I love what I saw, and I don't know that it changes my perception. I think it's really important for Carlos to stay healthy. I felt that way when the season started. I felt that way when he re-signed and when they made the decision to do it. And, you know, I did – it's funny you guys mentioned the idea that he would go to the Cubs. I, you know, as much as I was like, oh, boy, Carlos is always getting hurt, I did not want him to leave the team, and I certainly didn't want him to go to the Cubs. So I was I kind of – that froze me a little when I saw that comment yesterday on our little thread. I do think that my perception has changed because he's been so good to start the season. I thought my perception started to change in spring training because he was so good in spring training. And to see him carry that over I think is extraordinary and a really good sign for the rest of the season. But I got to tell you, when I look at this, my expectations for the pitching staff are the same. I thought they were going to be a really good starting pitching staff. It's not changed now that Carlos has a no-hitter. I thought they were going to be good. I think they are good, and I think they will be good. So, you know, I'm worried about health. I'm worried about Dallas Keuchel's back tightening up at some point. I'm worried about Carlos staying healthy all year, about adding innings to everyone. Michael Kopech didn't pitch. I have this in the back of my mind that there are all of these elements, but I'm very pumped up about this team.
A pick six of 100 yards!
When Roberto Perez was hit in the foot with one out in the ninth inning to ruin Carlos Rodon's perfect game, do you think he could have gotten out of the way out of respect for the perfect game Rodon was working on? Did that diminish anything about Rodon's achievement?
Unequivocally no to me. I had no problem with that. He hit the guy. Okay? Oh, you didn't have to call it. Oh, the umpire should have just ignored it. Oh, why didn't he jump out of the way? He could have jumped out of the way. He was burying a slider, and he hit him in the foot. That's what happened. You can't pretend like it didn't occur. It happened. Did he move quick enough? Could he have gotten out of the way? They were trying to break up the perfect game and the no-hitter. We went through it. I think that made it even better. I love the idea that the Indians were not going to just lay down and do a Michael Strahan or what, you know, Brett Favre, I'll slide. Oh, you get the sack numbers. To hell with that. Let's all try our best. I like that. I had no problem with it. That's a legit no-hitter because they were breaking their rear ends to try to blow it for him right up to the last pitch of the game. Could the guy gotten out of the way? I wish he had. I wish it hadn't happened. I wish it hadn't gone down that way. I wish he had gotten a perfect game. But it doesn't bother me in the least, and I'm not going to blame him, and I'm not going to get upset at anything that happened last night. It was a glorious night.
Okay, I'll say both things can be true. Both things can be true. It does not diminish one iota from Carlos Rodon's no-hitter that it's not a perfect game. Do not rain on his parade. This is his moment. He earned it. Congratulations. He is a history maker. But come on, man. I would have rather Roberto Perez try to lay down a bunt in the ninth inning. Don't pull that. Don't try to be a statue at that moment. You could have tried a little harder. Not that you had to be aware of everything going on, but how many times have we seen players, hitters, try to get out of the way of fastballs? This guy didn't make any sort of effort. I know it was coming at him at 90 some miles per hour, but it didn't appear like he wanted to get out of the way. It looked like he was trying to, you know, get on first base. Maybe not. He said he wasn't aware of the perfect game. Okay, fine. Well, I would think there'd be a little bit more awareness, but anyway, I would have preferred to see him try to get out any other way than to stand there and let the fastball hit him in the foot.
Well, I think, David, to me, I would rather have a guy desperate to get on base than to just have guys laying down and all that. So I'm glad he didn't know about the perfect game. I'm glad he was just up there trying to swing. He did hit him in the foot. He hit him. There's no way around it.
I want him moving his foot to try to get a hit. I want him to try to get a hit instead of
try
just sitting there
it?
And say, okay, you know, let me lean my shoulder in there and get, you know, that's my free trip to first base. I hate when that guy the guys
he
do
could
that
have stuff. Volleyed that thing into right field, and then we'd have an interesting conversation.
Pick six.
Was David Ross channeling his inner Tony La Russa by leaving Shelby Miller to walk home a couple of runs in the sixth inning? Is it more about what the Cubs are going through with three guys in pandemic protocol?
Well, I want to believe that, and I think that's part of it. I think David Ross didn't necessarily take the public blame the way that Tony La Russa did for staying with Matt Foster a little bit too long. I think the Cubs pitching staff, the way that they have assembled it and had to maneuver it this week, probably a ton more complicated than we even realize. And I know I said earlier, you know, I was really triggered by the fact they sent Alzolay to South Bend. I don't quite get all of that. My sense is, after taking a deep breath and kind of taking a step back, Mully, is that they probably are doing that because of all of these COVID protocols and the way that this contact tracing has affected the roster, you know, flexibility. They've had to do a lot of things that we're not privy to necessarily, and there's a lot going on there. So my sense is that was probably all related to factors beyond their control. Give him the benefit of the doubt, but it was not a good look.
Tony La Russa, what he did was lousy. He was right about that, because what he did is he left Matt Foster in to face eight guys. And he just got – it was horrible to watch that, because he could not get an out for his life. And eight batters, you know, that's five extra, just in case you're keeping score. What David Ross did is he allowed a guy to load the bases and then walk two guys in. And I guess he didn't like the matchup for the left-hander. So he allowed Shelby to stay on the mound and walk in another guy. So I think that Tony La Russa's, I did a lousy job, is absolutely accurate, because it was eight bloody batters. This was five. This was lousy, but not as lousy. This was kind of, I guess he was trying to protect a rookie who came in and seemed like he was really struggling from the minute he checked the cheat sheet to find out what you do when the bases are loaded. I think a lot of this is a reflection.
Jed, should we take him out now, Jed? Hello, Jed?
Well, that's a shot. I think a lot of this was a reflection of their bullpen issues. So I'm not gonna get down on him as much. It was a less lousy decision, David, if you will.
Okay.
By Jed. Can you believe this? Pick six.
How did you interpret Matt Nagy's presence at the pro day for Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields? Legit interest or smokescreen? How far would Fields have to drop before you'd feel comfortable with Ryan Pace moving up, as he's prone to do?
This one, really, I love this question. I try not to interpret Matt Nagy and his movements, because I don't know. Like, does he have a buddy that was going to be there and they were going to have a sandwich while they watched the quarterback? Is he just a fan of quarterbacks and, you know, like, geez, the kids are loud today. Maybe I get out of the house. I'll shoot over and check out the Ohio State quarterback. I don't know how to read it. I like Justin Fields. We've talked about this. And if he is a guy that they wound up with, if he started to fall in the draft and they had to make a slight move up to get him and they realized it, I'm sure others would have figured it out before them. But okay, would I like Justin Fields as a Bear? Yeah. But do I want the Bears to have a future and have draft picks beyond this administration? That too. So it's a really difficult one for me to discern exactly what is in the heart of one Matt Nagy. It's interesting. I'm not comfortable with Ryan Pace being given permission to seek his one player in this draft. I think that might be a mistake.
Yeah, we'll check in with Bigsy at 7:20, I think, in terms of what the Bears might have been thinking and how he would interpret that, because I don't think that there was an expectation Matt Nagy was going to be there at the pro day. You heard some teams like the Patriots, like the 49ers, and others, maybe the Falcons, were said to be there, but the Bears weren't necessarily on the list. It was reported then on social media and I think the NFL Network that Matt Nagy was spotted. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Maybe he was just in town visiting old friends from those days with the Columbus Destroyers in the Arena Football League. Maybe he just had a few free moments after that. But if they're really considering Justin Fields would have to drop significantly. Don't see that happening, or they would have to move up really high and give up a lot. And we can continue 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft. We will talk probably every day until that point about what the Bears should do. I don't like the idea of them giving up draft assets to move up that far the way they have done once before already during the Ryan Pace tenure. So we'll continue to hammer that idea home because I think it's a bad one. So, but that doesn't diminish or take away from the fact that Matt Nagy did show up at Justin Fields Pro Day and Justin Fields killed it once again.
That is a pick six.
What was the worst part of the Bulls' loss to the Magic, and how many more of those can they endure before the playoffs become a joke to even mention?
Yeah, I think we're getting to that point dangerously close to the line where you don't even want to mention the P word, because the P word is something that doesn't seem very realistic for a team that cannot take nights off the way that they have twice this week in terms of effort against the Timberwolves and against the Magic. That was the worst part. When you have a team then the rhetoric afterward is they weren't ready for to play and the sense of urgency wasn't there. Why not? Why not? You can't just flip a switch. You're not that good, Chicago Bulls. You're not. And so if you take a 23-point deficit, you cut it to six, all you do is you remind everyone how lax you were to start the game, and that's unacceptable. So I think until further notice, we should really stop talking about the playoffs and the play-in and all those things.
Yeah, that was the worst part. The worst part was the situation the team was in. Not, I mean, listen, it was a terrible performance, and that was awful, and you hate to watch it, but the fact that they're in the midst of this losing streak when they have to win, the fact that the schedule has turned and there's beatable teams, and you cannot muster the kind of energy you need to win an NBA game, that was shameful. That was a shameful performance. If I were them, I would drop to my knees and say some prayers and beg for forgiveness from all who watched, because the great basketball man in the sky was watching, and you embarrassed yourself in front of him too. So I would beg forgiveness. All right, we're getting back to the no-hitter. What did you think? We got to talk about this. There's so many people that are really mad at Roberto Perez that think that he should have jumped out of the way. And David, you've got like the whole crowd. You've lighted the torches, and now you're going to march on Cleveland. I don't know what the hell happened, but there's a lot of Roberto Perez booing going on the text line. What do you think? Did that ruin anything for you? 312-644-6767. Can't we just celebrate nice things? Must we look at the negative involved? We'll do that next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Inside, Perez. He got hit by it. Perez got clipped by the slider. Wow. What a way to end the perfect game bid.
You know, I mean, it obviously sucked. I mean, he's way off the plate. I kind of set up a little bit further in just to make sure that we didn't give him a pitch right over the middle of the plate. Wanted to, like, bury that slider just to make sure that he wasn't putting a good swing on it. And pulled a little bit. I think he got hit more because he didn't recognize the pitch rather than we hit him. Most of the time you recognize that pitch, you move out of the way. But he just didn't see it. And after that, I just moved on to get the no-no.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our thanks to NBC Sports Chicago for the highlight. Is that a highlight, David? That was kind of the low point. But I got to tell you, I'm not as worked up as a lot of our texters are. They are pretty angry with Roberto Perez for not getting the toe out of the way. And, you know, it was interesting because Stoney said right before that pitch, he said basically, you're looking for a strikeout there. He suggested the changeup, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. But I wonder if part of that was understanding that you know, that pitch can go. I mean, when you're throwing a sharp slider like that,
sure,
you know, that possibility exists, and you've got two outs left to get a no-hitter or a perfect game, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that would have been the more sensible pitch to throw.
Maybe. I'm not questioning his pitch selection necessarily, and I'm not trying to incite the masses. I'm just being honest about my reaction at the moment. At the moment, I felt like I'm watching this and we're all thinking the same thing, and you're thinking, okay, if he comes inside, make more of an effort. I thought he could have made more of an effort to get out of the way than he did, and I felt like then if I take that thought one step further, I'm like, well, was he trying to maybe do everything possible to get on base because they hadn't had anybody on base to that point? So the 26th hitter of the game, well, finally they're going to get on base. So it kind of ticked me off when I'm watching it in real time. Now, this morning, I think you can still have those sort of questions, and it's okay to wonder and to quibble, but I don't think it takes nothing away at all from the no-hitter that Carlos Rodon threw, and it doesn't make it any less satisfying, any less memorable, any less special, because what we saw last night was a testament of perseverance for a guy with, think about this, Molly, two scars on his left shoulder, 28 years old, two surgeries, and he did that last night. That was huge, and nothing can diminish that kind of moment.
Yeah, I got to admit, David, I think one of the more impressive elements of his performance was his composure after that happened. How many times do you see a guy have a bad moment or something occurs and then, you know, the floodgates start to open? They were never going to lose that game. I'm not suggesting that. But it was the kind of thing where he just shook it off and he kept going. And now he had a man on first and he didn't care. And he got through it and got his no-no, as you say there. It was really impressive to not be in any way kind of distracted or, you know, kind of, you know, feeling a certain amount of self-loathing that you had made a mistake and route to this glorious moment. He'd never had a complete game no-hit. You know, this is only the second complete game of his career, and it was his first complete game shutout, and it comes with his only no-hitter. I mean, it's an extraordinary kind of turn of events for him, and I loved that he laughed at it. He literally stood there and laughed while the guy's on first base.
It just speaks to the kind of perspective that he brings into this season. He is 28, but it seems like he should be older, doesn't it? It seems like he has been around here longer, because since the moment he was drafted third in that 2014 draft, and can you name the other two Sox fans? Can you name the other two guys picked ahead of Carlos Rodon? Think about that for a couple minutes. But since he has been drafted, it's been all about expectation. It's been all about potential. It's been all about falling short of what we expected from him because of injury, because of inconsistency, but mostly injury. And so I think that when something like that happened last night in the ninth inning, yeah, it would have rattled some pitchers. It might have rattled your guy Crochet, who can't seem to field the position and you want to keep out of the 10th inning because he gets rattled. But Carlos Rodon, he sort of laughed. He sort of chuckled because you're not going to rattle him. He's not that guy. And he came back this year committed to being a different pitcher. And so far through two starts, nobody has been off to the kind of start in baseball history that Carlos Rodon has. Two hits in two starts. That is unprecedented.
312-644-6767. I mean, does something like that last night help erase the horrors of Chicago sports and the things that are going on? We talked yesterday about the lethargy that surrounds the Bears right now. We know the Bulls are losing for a living. Not sure why, what's going wrong there, but something's terribly wrong, and they're putting together losses the Cubs can't hit. You want to no-hit a team, play the Cubs. I mean, it's just an awful thing to witness in a terrible game yesterday afternoon. And you know, the beauty of this Carlos Rodon night is, David, the game was over in the first inning. The Sox put up six runs before he got on the bump, and you had the feeling that, okay, well, that one's solved. You don't have to worry about that. It was just a question as to what the final score line was going to be. When you score six runs before the pitcher takes the mound, you expect him to win that game. And yet, the people that were there, anybody watching, he kept you watching. There was something else. By the time you got to the sixth inning and you knew what was going on, You were pot committed. You weren't running off the bed, regardless of what time you get up in the morning.
Regardless.
You had to sit there and watch that and live and die on every pitch and text with friends and tell your sons, tell your daughters.
Yes, call them all, because it was a moment. It was a happening. And I didn't really flip much to the Bulls game after the fifth inning, to be honest. I think that, yeah, you have a sense of duty, but I knew Dustin was watching. If something big happened, we could catch up, and I'd watch the highlights later. And congratulations, Wendell Carter Jr. You had a big night coming back, but I wasn't watching. I wasn't interested, because Carlos Rodon was captivating us on the south side. And Mully, when you think back, all the things that make this such a great story, back in December, the headline, White Sox non-tender Carlos Rodon.
Yep.
In January, Cubs will attend Rodon's workout along with other teams. And even the speculation that we gave lip service to here on this show and on the station, would the Cubs, you know, should they pursue him? How would he look in that rotation with replacing John Lester? And the Sox got him at a bargain. $3 million, one-year contract, a prove-it deal, and boy, did he prove something last night.
Yeah, it was so much fun, and I'm so happy for him, because, you know, as his wife said on Twitter, they've been through hell, and he's been through hell. And that is, you know, one of the questions that they asked him in the post game, just with Steve and Jason, was, you know, did you ever feel like it wasn't going to happen? You know, did you ever feel like quitting? Did you ever feel? And I got to tell you, what human wouldn't? And he was like, oh, yeah. I mean, of course, that goes through your head when you're coming back from that kind of injury. Just extraordinary. Great story. So happy for the guy and happy for all of us that we got a chance to witness it.
And to pay off the tease, Mully, you know, 2014, the MLB draft, Carlos Rodon was third. And the first two pitchers taken ahead of him, number one, Brady Aiken, number two, Tyler Kolek, and wow. I don't believe either one ever made it to the majors. So Carlos Rodon representing the 2014 amateur draft class proudly last night.
Was that Schwarber year? Was that
Schwarber? That was. Schwarber was right after. Schwarbs was after that. The Cubs kind of overdrafted him. And
God, I can't believe you just said that.
Well, okay.
But
well,
at the time, I mean, he was Paul Bunyan, David. They won a World Series. They don't win the World Series without him. How do you overdraft him? Especially when those other guys are mentioned.
At the time that they drafted him, he was considered that was a little bit higher than people had maybe pegged him. I guess maybe that is reference. Okay. I do not See, I'm triggering people today. I don't want to do that. This is not okay. That wasn't a knock at Kyle Schwarber.
Aren't you glad I clarified?
Because thank you're you right. For clarifying.
He was not expected to be taken as high as he was. That's what you're saying.
That's kind of what I meant to say. Okay. Yeah, I should have been more clear about that. So
I'm glad we've got that clarity, and I think that a lot of people want to talk about this. We're going to get to your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Is this a triumph of the human spirit story? Is this a feel-good COVID story? Stuck in quarantine, do you love being able to live vicariously through the 7,000 people that got a chance to go out to that game? Or are you one of them? And we'd love to hear from you. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.